So look who just walked in the building. The one and only, the historic, giving them all kinds of... He's my favorite to watch on C-SPAN because he just tells them all like it is. He act like he in the living room, holding court at the dining room table. It is our very own from the 7th Congressional District, very historic district here in Baltimore, Maryland. Our very own Congressman Elijah Cummings.
It's good to be with you.
Thank you so much.
Congressman Cummings, after the Freddie Gray incident put Baltimore on really the national radar screen, what did you consider doing on the federal level to try to stop something like that from happening, not only in Baltimore, but in other places as well? Was there any legislation around that issue?
Not so. We tried to do some legislation, but the more important thing we did was try to make sure that the federal government was doing everything it could to help us create jobs. President Obama, to his credit, I mean, he only has limited discretionary power with regard to funds, but he opened a lot of doors for us with regard to money for things like weatherization, things like solar energy, and giving young people jobs. We also tried to do a number of things with regard to legislation, that is addressing police community relations bills to give more money for that, addressing the issues of recruitment, accountability, training, supervision, things of that nature. And we got a lot of cooperation because we're not in control. You have to have the cooperation of the Republicans. They control everything. And we got that cooperation. But it seems like a lot of the legislation, not only with regard to police, community police relationships, but also with regard to revising and addressing the criminal justice system, has gotten stalled. And I think a lot of it has to do with this presidential election. A lot of the Republicans, they even had the Koch brothers sitting at the table, along with Cory Booker and others, trying to pull all of this together. So we're sort of a standstill there. But on the other hand, we've been able to get a number of the foundations. Schools like Johns Hopkins have come to the table. We were able to get 8,000 young people jobs both summers. Jobs are very important. And by the way, going back to what you were asking, when you talk to the young people in Baltimore, there were three things that they were most concerned about. One, education. Many of them felt that they were not getting the kind of education they needed to become all God meant for them to be. Two, recreation, believe it or not. A lot of them felt like they didn't have anything to do, that they did not lead a normal life like most young people do, with recreational opportunities. And then the third thing was jobs. And so what we've been doing is really concentrating hard on jobs, training, because we realize that these things, all of this is mixed up together. The police issues, keep in mind, Freddie Gray was just trying to have a good day. And Freddie Gray ran away from the police. In some neighborhoods, people run towards the police. He was running away, and he died. Also keep in mind that Freddie Gray was filled with lead as a young child. So again, we just had some legislation to pass the Senate yesterday with regard to lead paint. So we got a number of things that we've been working on. But again, the main thing I was trying to do is get jobs and job training.
Very quickly, I need to follow up. This is an important question around the racial element of this, because in the Freddie Gray case, three of the officers were black. The prosecutor was black. The mayor was black. Most of the people involved in that was the judge was black that let off many of the police officers. And so it looks to me like almost an illustration of systemic discrimination and how it plays out no matter who's in those seats.
Well, let's go back. When you come to, let's start with the police department. I think the fact that three of the six officers were black tells you that there are some systemic problems. In other words, by the way, that was proven by the practice and patterns and practice investigation that showed that said that over the last 5 years there were reported 300,000 stops of pedestrians, mostly black, all right? 300,000, report it. When you talk to the police officers, you know, the ones I know, they'll tell you, Cummins, it wasn't 300,000. It was probably more like 1.5 or 2 million. Keep in mind. And by the way, of all those stops, 97% of them, there was no citation, no arrest. So, again, because they're black and white, I believe that it's systemic. But number two, we had a bold state's attorney, Marilyn Mosby, who's going to be speaking at a forum of mine on Saturday, and she brought charges. Now, that's unusual. Keep in mind that in less than 2% of these cases are charges ever brought. What I said to my constituents is that, okay, now we got justice rolling, okay? But I can't, as a lawyer, I can tell you, I can't guarantee you the result of a justice procedure. You can only leave it up to the jury and what have you. But keep in mind, in the first trial, there was a hung jury. What did that mean? That meant some of them people felt that somebody was guilty.
Yeah.
But they could not come to a unanimous decision that these folks were guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. That's a high standard. The next two or three, next two trials, the judge did them, next three trials, judge did them, and what did he do? He felt that there was not enough evidence. But there were a lot of games, we believe, that were played, holding back of evidence that hurt the prosecutor who was trying to do the right thing. So at least we got the justice thing rolling. But there's another thing. I want you to think about this. When the verdicts came in, Baltimore did not erupt. You know why? Because they felt that they had confidence in their state's attorney. They may not have liked the decision that the judge made. They may not have liked the hung jury. But at least they said, okay, we got, at least justice is beginning to roll. And so, I hope that helps.
To that point, trying to continue that momentum.
Sure.
Even in the wake of the Department of Justice report, the pending consent decree, can we affect the change that we need, Congressman, if we are not able to, in a plausible way, affect the law enforcement officer's Bill of Rights, the most expansive, the oldest in the country?
I think that's a great question. We have to deal with the Bill of Rights. We have to. I mean, I think what I tell my constituents is that the Patterns of Practice report, and I urge everybody to read it, gives us the evidence. Now, before this thing called the cell phone, you know, we didn't have pictures videos of people doing these things. Now we're able to collect all this evidence and pull it all together. So you got to deal with that. You got to, the legislature, state legislature has to deal with that. When you give a policeman 10 days or whatever it is to make up, get their stories together before they even have to present, I mean, you know, talk to the investigators, that's crazy. So I think that we are in a better position now, but it's going to take a lot of hard work, because keep in mind, Baltimore is one jurisdiction out of 24. So that means that there are other jurisdictions that will not necessarily be as empathetic and sensitive to what we're doing. And that police stuff is hard. But that's why people got to come out and vote. That's why people got to go to their legislature and press hard.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, Representative Cummins, what can we learn on a national level about what happened specifically with those trials of those police officers in Baltimore?
I think what we can learn, first of all, is that, and we've seen it already, that prosecutors should not be afraid to bring charges. And I think, if you had a chance to talk to Marilyn Mosby, who I talk to quite often, she will tell you that the door has now been opened. You've seen more prosecutions now, well, let me put it like this, more people being charged now than ever before. Don't get me wrong, I still think there ought to be a whole lot more being charged, but you're seeing more than ever. She opened the door to that. So that's number one. Number two, I think we had to find ways to kind of separate. You need the people doing the investigating of the police. You need somebody separate from the police investigating themselves. Come on now, you got a secret society. So if I'm investigating you, we boys, I mean, and I know you're going to lose your livelihood, possibly go to jail, and we've been hanging out for 20 years, I'm not going to probably do something that hurt you. I mean, that's just the way it is.
Right.
So that's why you got to have a separate entity like an independent entity, to do the investigations themselves. You follow me?
Absolutely.
Congressman, thank you so much. We are almost out of time. I just thank you for coming. I know the great work you do. I live in your district.
Thank you.
Had the pleasure of working with you often. I'm happy that people in Philadelphia get to know how hard you fight for all of our communities and the things you have to go through to get these things done.
Thank you.
Please tell your beautiful wife I said hello.
I certainly will.
Thank you. You're listening to a simulcast of WEAA and WURD here in Baltimore, as well as in Philadelphia. That was Congressman Elijah Cummings speaking with us.